and I'm going to say it again. Good morning and happy Sabbath.
Good morning, happy Sabbath.
I don't know about you, but I can't get enough of it.
That's right. Amen.
Especially the week I've had, the month I've had. I race to the Sabbaths. I'll say that again. The month I've had, I race to the Sabbaths. This has been a difficult, trying month for me. Many of you may know a friend of mine had decided to commit suicide back in May. His birthday was just this month. Kind of rough for me. Was actually able to go out to the cemetery and put some flowers and balloons on his grave site. I know that scripture teaches and tells us that the dead know not, but it was still kind of comforting for me to be able to go and do that for him. And his was able to go out there with his mother and his older brother and spend some time with them. So still hurts, but I know God is a healer of all things, and he will get me through that. So, and yesterday was my uncle's birthday, and I went on my Facebook page, and as soon as I opened it up, I heard his voice. My cousin put a video of him on there, and his voice, and just, it was like Niagara Falls for me, just to hear that voice. Then this past Wednesday, my wife, who I'm still kind of worried about, has been having back problems. She had recently had a car accident. A guy in a Ram truck, I was telling Brother Mike about it earlier, had ran into the back of her. She was sitting at the stoplight, ran into the back of her, and she had been having back problems and was making an attempt to walk down the stairs, slipped and fell, and now is having problems with her hip and can barely walk. So we've been kind of back and forth at the yard. Thank God nothing is broken, nothing is torn, just a lot of bad bruising. So it's been a rough month for July. So nevertheless, I'm here. Ready to celebrate Jesus, and I hope you all are as well. Today's sermon, I was going and trying to read and study scripture, packing as well, as most of you know, we're moving from our home to where we've been in for 15 years, so it's kind of like a strain and excitement as well in the same sense. But I chose this, I guess, thinking of myself as well. There's no guessing to it. I know thinking of myself as well. The title of my sermon is Your Character Will Decide Your Destiny. I will say that again. Your character will decide your destiny. I was on my way home Thursday from work. My manager allowed me to leave early because I hadn't gotten any sleep the night before. Like I said, my wife had slipped and fell and rushed her to the ER, and we were there till about 2 in the morning. And was on my way home. I took a cab home, and the cab driver just so happened to see a church building. He looked at the church building. He said, "Oh, that's a beautiful building." I said, "Yeah, it is a very beautiful building, but what about the inside of the building? A person can be beautiful and glorious and glamorous on the outside, but what about the inside of the person or that building? They can have all the glorious whatever, shimmering golds on the outside. What about their inside? Their character on the inside. How are they living on the inside?" So I looked at this scripture here, and before I start, how many of us, by show of hands, like to fish?
Fish? Oh, yeah.
How many of us like fishing? Let me see. Let's keep the hands up. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not too many of us. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. How many of us like to watch fishing shows on TV, though? Not many. I'm the only one. That's all right. Maybe by the end of it, we'll change it. I'm going to try and take us on an adventure today, this Sabbath morning. Maybe I'll be successful, maybe not. And maybe, hopefully, by the end of it, we'll change. So our adventure will begin this morning in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47. Is where our adventure will begin. And this made me not only think of myself, but all of us as well. And as I was going through this, while trying to pack as well, a lot of things hit me as far as character. Your character will decide your destiny. And it reads, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of time, at the end of age, excuse me, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, I'm going to stop there. And I purposely stopped there for a reason, because there's going to be a question at the end. But something jumped out at me, and I kept reading that. I'm like, what in the world does a... Some verses just say net, they don't say dragnet. But I got to thinking, now I'm flipping through the TV, trying to study, trying to work on my sermon, fishing show came on. Like Mike said in his praise and prayer, accidental. There's no coincidences with Jesus. There's no such thing. No chance, no accidents.
Amen. Amen.
There's none of that with Jesus. Fishing show came on. And the guy just kept saying, throw the net in the water. Throw the net. And just so happened, the guy in the boat named Peter. Accident, right? The guy on the show, his name was Peter. And he's just arguing with the captain. And I just had this vision in my mind, captain of the boat, Jesus, saying, given a strict order to throw the net on the right side of the boat. This is what the captain was telling Peter on the show. Throw the net on the right side of the boat. Drop the net. Okay, he finally dropped the net. Dropped the net. Start to drag the net. All kind of stuff came up. There was fish. There was bottles, cans, just all kind of stuff. They brought the net to the shore, began to separate, and they were putting the good fish over here, putting what they didn't want over there. This scripture just came to life for me. And I got to thinking, back in their time, they had to do this as well. And it came applicable to now, right here in this church. And as I look around, all of us right now, in my opinion, are the good fish. Can I say that?
Amen.
All of us are the good fish. So I'm fishing, I threw my net, and I'm keeping all y'all. Can I say that?
All
right. I'm keeping every single one of y'all, I'm keeping. So I'm not throwing any of y'all back. Victor, I'm keeping you especially. Keeping you, Victor. So you being kept. You're my prize fish. Can I say that? Now we get an amen. All right. So just so y'all know, Victor's my prize fish. You didn't know I was gonna put you on the spot today, did you?
Not on the spot.
All right. Praise God. So, but no, they pulled all the fish, and like I said, they separating, and this Peter guy, accident again, he was just like, you know, how did you know to throw this net over here? Just a hunch. But I got to reading this, and then scripture, something else jumped out at me. What in biblical terms is this net? What are you trying to show me here, Lord? So the Lord showed me in the book of Mark, Mark 13, verse 10. If I can have someone read that for me, please, nice and loud and clear. Whatever version you have, it doesn't matter. Just Mark 13. Mark 13, I believe, will tell us what the casting of this net is in biblical terms.
And the gospel must first be preached to all nations.
What was it again?
And the gospel must...
And the gospel. This net that Jesus here is talking about. If you have your Bibles in Matthew, this net that Jesus is talking about here that was cast out is the gospel. The gospel is going to bring in all kinds of people from all walks, all tongues, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you look up and look around right now, I'm going to say it, we're like Baskin Robbins. We're like 31 flavors right now sitting here in these seats. We've got all kind of colors, nationalities, everything. I love it. This is like a dress rehearsal for heaven. I love it. I love it. We're all good fish. God doggone, I love it. And the gospel, this net, is being cast out. Has been cast out. And we're all pulled in. None of us are bad fish. None of us, not a single one of us. So we found out that we're in the gospel net right now. Amen. But then it reads further that, and we already found out that when it was poured, when it was full, and I don't believe that we are full right now. I believe that our net will get much more fuller before the end comes and before the close of probation comes, excuse me, before this separation comes. It says, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just. This to me speaks about character. Your character will decide your destiny. And I'm going to pick on myself, if that's okay. A lot of people, in my opinion, figure that they're in the church, they have this position as pastor, elder, deacon. Oh, Elder Beeman, he wears a nice tie on Sabbath. He speaks from the heart on Sabbath. Has a nice low-cut haircut on Sabbath. He's definitely going to heaven. All that means nothing. Elder Beeman is harboring and holding on to sin. And if he doesn't let him go, he will not be going to heaven, brothers and sisters. Elder Beeman's character defines his destiny. If I do not let go of these sins that I'm harboring, I won't talk about them. That's between God and I. And I have some struggles. But if I do not let them go, I will not. You guys will see me on the opposite side of that wall. I believe that this 48, 49, that's what they're talking about, is the character, that position. A lot of people get that mixed up. They figure, I'm a pastor. I got my ticket in, guaranteed. I'm an elder. I'm a shoe-in because I stand in the pulpit. I praise God every Sabbath. I shake hands with people at the door every Sabbath. I'm a shoe-in there. I give my tithes. All that means nothing. Diddly squat. It's what you have on the inside. Are you being a reflection of Jesus Christ? Are you being a reflection of the Word of God? Your character will determine your destination, your destiny.
Amen.
Not your position. Your position means nothing to Christ. Your outside look means nothing. We are dirty rags. I am a dirty rag. Means nothing because I can get up here and stand behind a microphone and say some colorful phrases and words. That's nothing. That won't stand up in Christ's court. Not the people's court. Christ's court. And as we read further, verse 50 says, there would be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There would be pain, sorrow, suffering, anguish. There would be pain and suffering on both sides. Because we, as Bible-believing Christians, have a responsibility to share the gospel and have and be a reflection of Jesus Christ and share the Word of God and plant seeds to those who may not know, or if they know. We have a responsibility. We will be able to look out and see through that wall. We will be able to look out and see those bad fish that were cast away. We always talk about missed opportunities. And maybe at those times we're not thinking, that's fine. And we always praying for opportunities. I know I am. Every day, Lord, please send me someone I can minister to. Just the other day, yesterday, matter of fact, we had our alarm system installed in our home. Home we're just moving into. Had an opportunity to minister to this young brother, who unfortunately was a Bears fan, but that's okay. He didn't know any better. That's fine. I gave him a hug anyway. That's all right. But nevertheless, he still needs to know Jesus Christ loves you, brother. Jesus Christ is the reason why you exist right here, right now, today. Jesus Christ is the reason why you are able to get in your car and do what it is you do and have your skill set that you have. Without Christ, nothing is possible.
Bless you.
Bless you. Now, there was a question down on verse 51 in Matthew 13, verse 51. But before I ask that, I want you to know that our Lord does not desire any of his creation to be lost. We read it in our scripture reading, Ezekiel 33:11. If someone can please read that nice and loud, please.
As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Stop right there, please. Just read, as I live, the Lord God said, I have no pleasure. No pleasure. The Lord does not want any single one of us or any single one of his creation to be thrown in that furnace. In the Lord's eyes, he doesn't want no bad fish. None whatsoever. In verse 51 of Matthew, Jesus asked a question to the disciples. I'm going to ask you this question. He says, then he said to them, verse 51 says, Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes, Lord. That is a personal question that you have to ask and answer rather yourself. My answer, I'm not sure, honestly. I stand before you today and tell you I'm not sure if I understood what the Lord is saying to me. If so, I would be able to just give up and let go of what I'm harboring today. I would let go easily what I'm harboring. As we get ready and close, know that Jesus loves each and every one of you, right down to the very finest of follicles on your body. If not, we would not have been created to the finest detail that he took the time to create us in. We would not have been so detailed in his creation. And know that I love each and every one of you. And I can stand and say that with surety and assurance. I wish all of you a very happy and blessed Sabbath. I will not be staying for a potluck today. Sharon, I did get your text. And yes, I do love lasagna. It's one of my favorites. With that being said, let us pray and before I leave I will bless the food so that you can all partake in the meal, but it is my prayer as well that you take this sermon to heart. Last time I spoke about being the example of Christ and a reflection of Christ and letting your light shine bright, not dim. Stand firm, be bold wherever you may be. Your jobs, your schools, you young people in here, be an example in your schools. Stand firm. Don't let no one tell you, you can't speak out or speak up for Christ. Because he spoke out and spoke up for you when he was whipped and beaten, spat on and kicked and nailed to that cross. He spoke out in major volumes. If you don't believe me, study your Bibles. Don't take your parents' word for it. Please study it for yourself. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, this is my prayer in Jesus' name, that each and every one of us seated here today, Father God, walk out of here changed, not by force, Father God, but by choice. Father God, is my prayer in Jesus' name that from the youngest to the oldest, in these closing and ending times, Lord, before we are pulled to shore and separated, that we will not be called in or labeled bad fish, Father. Father God, I ask that you please forgive me of my sins, my transgressions, and my iniquities, Lord. Father God, I stand before you humble and imperfect, Lord. And Lord, I say thank you, something I can never say enough. As long as you give me breath, Father, I will always thank you. Father God, it's my prayer that this message goes farther than I intended it to go on your wings and your breath. Lord, as we get ready to close, I lift you up and thank you for loving each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father in heaven, Father God, each and every moment, something I personally need to do is draw nearer and nearer to you and allow you to draw nearer and nearer to me. Father God, it is my prayer that each and every one of us do the same. Lord, as we get ready to enjoy a fellowship meal, Father God, I pray that this meal provide the proper nourishment to our minds and our bodies, Father God, to do so. And Lord, thank you for the hands that made and prepared the food as well. Father God, we pray for them that they may continue to be strengthened in their walks with you. Lord, this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.